Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, January 18th, 2018. We'll start with a quick story here titled Woman, Granddaughter Escape House Fire. In Belgium, a woman and her 11-year-old granddaughter escaped a house fire early Wednesday morning in the 500 block of Delanois Street, according to Westville Area Fire Chief Gary Wright. When firefighters arrived at 2:45 a.m., the pair was out of the house. Westville, along with personnel from Catlin, Tilton, Lynch, and Georgetown departments, fought the blaze until about 5:30 a.m. Wright said the woman, who is in her 60s, was taken to Presence United Samaritans Medical Center for smoke and inhalation. The fire was a total loss and is under investigation. Next story is titled Vacant Lot Exchange for Alley Vacation. This is written by Jennifer Bailey in Danville. If the city is awarded another Brownfields grant, it has another piece of property to add to others to address on East Main Street. City Council members Tuesday night approved the vacation of an alleyway at 702 South Gilbert Street for Dennis Ballinger. Danville Engineering and Urban Services Director David Schnell said Ballinger acquired the property on Gilbert with a garage over the alley. Schnell said the vacation will solve a problem for Ballinger and solve a problem for the city if the city has to maintain that alley. In exchange, Ballinger is trading a vacant lot at 404 East Main Street to the city, and the city is forgiving almost $3,000 in small claims court cases, some going back to 2013 against Ballinger and Magnus Tax Services. In exchange for that, the legal department has agreed to waive some fines and fees so that we can make this transaction happen, Schnell said. So this is one of those that is mutually beneficial for both parties. The parcel on Main Street is adjacent to other properties the city owns, and if the city receives another Brownfields grant, it's applied for, the grant funds can be applied to those properties, Schnell said. There is no intended additional use for the Gilbert alleyway. Ballinger would not have to tear down that garage, Mayor Scott Eisenhower said. In other business Tuesday, the city council members approved funding and engineering services for the Voorhees Street Bridge replacement. Around the time construction is expected to start on the city's first roundabout, detour construction and the Voorhees Street Bridge replacement will begin. Voorhees Street at the bridge west of Collette and Voorhees Street intersection is expected to be closed from about May through October. The City Council on Tuesday also amended a contract for the Cleveland, Delaware Sewer Improvement Project by $13,162, with Owens Excavating and Trucking to increase the contract to $138,969. Funding comes from the city's Sanitary Sewer Replacement Fund. Ward 3 Alderwoman Sherry Pickering also asked about temporary employees hired in parks. Public Works Deputy Director Ray Garcia said it was for downtown services and maintaining the parking garage area. The city paid some auxiliary staff to do work previously done through additional auxiliary staff. Next story is titled District 118 Considers Adding Fall Break, and this is written by Carol Roem in Danville. The Danville District 118 School Board Wednesday night discussed adding a fall break in mid-October at its traditional calendar schools, possibly starting as soon as next year. During a health and wellness fair for district faculty and staff earlier this school year, teachers were asked their opinion about adding a fall break, according to Assistant Superintendent for Elementary Education, John Hart. We create new school calendars every 3 years, and adding a fall break for the traditional calendar schools would kind of give students and staff a longer break in the fall, he said. The week we're looking at already has a low staff attendance rate, Hart added. The proposed fall break between October 15th and 19th would include Columbus Day, which already is a school holiday, and would coincide with the fall break at Northeast Elementary Magnet School, the district's only balanced calendar school. To add a week-long fall break at the traditional calendar schools would mean starting school 3 days earlier in August, but it would help balance the first and second quarters of instruction, so they are 42 days each, Hart said. A fall break would eliminate some of the many early out days in the fall and would not affect the district's end of school date, he said. The district has considered on and off for several years the merits of having all of its schools on a balanced calendar. The addition of a fall break could be the first step toward realizing that concept. It would give us an idea of what a balanced calendar would look like, Hart said, adding that right now all of the schools in the district have air conditioning and could be open year-round. Board member Dr. Randall Dashton said the positives of adding a fall break outweigh the negatives, although he was concerned some working parents might have daycare issues. Fellow board member Lon Henderson asked that the district's entire staff be surveyed first before adding a fall break. Also on Wednesday, the board heard that the ownership and education meetings will begin this month. District 118 parents are encouraged to attend to provide input for next year's student handbook. The first meeting is set for 5 to 6 p.m. on Tuesday, January 30th, in the Little Theater at Danville High School. They also approved two requests for international travel with DHS students. One trip plans to take students in DHS Spanish classes to Costa Rica on June 6th through the 14th. The second trip is set for June 11th through the 18th to Japan. The trips are sponsored by the school district. And they also approved entering into a three-year lease agreement at $9,605 a year with CarMat Car Capital of Danville for three 2018 Honda Civics to be used as driver education vehicles. The district's current three-year lease with Toyota of Danville ends this month. Okay, we'll run through the obituaries now. E. Darcell Darcy Vance, 58, of Kendallville, Indiana, passed away on Wednesday, January 10th, 2018, at Parkview Regional Medical Center in Fort Wayne, Indiana. A celebration of life will be at 4 p.m. on Saturday, January 20th, with visitation from 2 to 4 p.m. at Trinity United Church of Christ, 311 Moses Avenue, Westville, Illinois. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations are invited to Cancer Services of Northeast Indiana, 6316 Mutual Drive, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 46825, and Noble County Suicide Awareness and Prevention, 2112 Logan Court, Kendallville, Indiana, 46755. Mary Ann Rose Mormon, 80, of Westville, Illinois, was taken to heaven by the angels at 3:30 a.m. Monday, January 15th, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral services, 2:30 p.m. Thursday, January 18th, at Robeson Chapel in Catlin, with Father Timothy Sapp officiating. Burial in St. Peter and Paul Cemetery in Westville. Visitation from 1:30 p.m. until service time Thursday at Robeson Chapel with rosary at 1 p.m. Fleeta M. Schultz, 95, of Danville, passed away January 15th at Presence United Samaritans Medical Center in Danville. A celebration of Fleeta's life will be at 3 p.m. Saturday, January 20th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Visitation will be from 1 to 3 p.m. prior to the service. Entombment will take place at Sunset Memorial Park. Memorials can be made in her name to Farmers Chapel United Methodist Church, 414 Poland Road, Danville, Illinois, 61834. Bertha Betty Kirkpatrick, 99, of Danville, passed away at 9:34 a.m. Wednesday, January 10th, at North Logan Healthcare Center in Danville. Funeral services noon Saturday, January 20th, at Muncie Baptist Church in Muncie, with Pastor David Garver officiating. Burial in Stearns Cemetery at 50th. Visitation will be 1 hour prior to the services on Saturday at Muncie Baptist Church. James Jim Norton Crawford, Sr., 75, of Potomac, passed away at 7:54 p.m. on Monday, January 15th, at Country Health in Gifford. A celebration of Crawford's life will be at 2 p.m. Saturday, January 20th at Blurton Funeral Home in Potomac with Pastor Karen Jersild officiating. Visitation will be from 5 to 8 p.m. Friday, January 19th at the funeral home. He will be laid to rest in Partlow Cemetery following the services. Memorials may be made to the American Heart Association or to the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. Blurton Funeral Home is entrusted by the family. Richard Tony A. Bennett, 79, of Williamsport and formerly of Cayuga, Indiana, passed away at 11 a.m. EST time Tuesday, January 16th at his residence. Funeral services EST time are at 11 a.m. Saturday, January 20th at Covington First Church of Christ, 615 5th Street, officiating Mike Harshman. Burial with military honors at Lower Mound Cemetery north of Perryville, Indiana. Visitation from 5 to 8 p.m. EST time Friday, January 19th at the church and 1 hour prior to the services on Saturday. Contributions may be made to the Covington First Church of Christ, 615 5th Street, Covington, Indiana, 47932, or to Hanging Rock Christian Camp, P.O. Box 218, West Lebanon, Indiana, 47991. Deborah K. Taylor, 63, of Danville, passed away at 2:50 p.m. on January 15th at Presence Covenant Medical Center in Urbana. A celebration of life will be at 1 p.m. Saturday, January 20th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Kurt Sovine and Brian Blackford will officiate. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park in Danville. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Friday, January 19th at the funeral home. Joe Chevront, 83, of Covington, Indiana, passed away at 11:30 a.m. on Friday, January 5th at the Danville Veterans Affairs Medical Center. Graveside rites at 10 a.m. Thursday at National Cemetery in Danville. Catlin American Legion will provide military honors. Robeson Chapel in Catlin is handling the details. Robert Bob Earl Meadows, 90, of Danville, passed away at 3:54 p.m. January 14th at Pleasant Meadows Senior Living in Chrisman, Illinois. Per Robert's wishes, cremation rites will be accorded and private family services will be held. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street, Danville, Illinois, is assisting the family with the arrangements. Memorials are requested to the American Legion Post 210 Honor Guard. Laura Lenover Broderick, 68, of Lakeland, Florida, formerly of Danville, passed away at 1:22 a.m. Thursday, January 4th. Peacefully at home. A joint memorial service for Laura and her father, Robert Lenover, who also passed away on January 4th, will be at 11 a.m. on January 19th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Rod Godley will officiate. Visitation will be from 9 to 11 a.m. prior to the services at the funeral home. And burial at Sunset Memorial Park. Terry E. Brown, 74, of Avon Park, Florida, formerly of Danville, passed away Sunday, January 14th. There will be a memorial service at a later date in Danville, Illinois. Those who wish may contribute to Highlands Humane Society, 7421 Haywood Taylor Boulevard, Sebring, Florida, 33876, or Take Stock in Children at 13 East Main Street, Avon Park, Florida, 33825. Sarah Sue Lampkin, 73, of Malden, South Carolina, passed away on January 12th. A memorial service will be held at a later date in Illinois. Memorials may be made to the American Cancer Society by visiting cancer.org. Larry Kenneth Brooks, 72, of Springfield, formerly of Danville, passed away Wednesday, January 10th at Hospice at Heritage. Committal service will be at 1. Cremation rites will be accorded by cremation services of Central Illinois and Chatham before the services. Committal service will be at 1:30 p.m. Thursday, January 18th, in the chapel at Sunset Memorial Park, 3901 North Vermilion Street, Danville, with Father Timothy Sopp officiating. Military rites will be accorded. Memorial contributions may be made to the American Legion Post 210, 201 Prospect Place, Danville, Illinois, 61832. Frederick Irwin Willer, 66, of Danville, passed away at Presence United Samaritans Medical Center emergency room on January 15th, with Joy by his side. Services will be Friday, January 19th, at Georgetown Friends Meeting in Georgetown, Illinois, at 10 a.m. in lieu of flowers. Donations may be made to the CARA shelter in Tilton, Illinois. Robert L. Bob Lenover, 92, of Danville, passed away at 2:30 p.m. Thursday, January 4th, at the Veterans Affairs Ileana Healthcare Center, where he was in hospice care. A joint memorial service for Bob and his daughter, Laura Broderick, who also passed away on January 4th, at 11 a.m. on January 19th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street, Danville. Rod Godley will officiate. Visitation will be from 9 to 11 prior to the service at the funeral home. Burial at Sunset Memorial Park with military rites accorded by American Legion Post 210. Memorials to the Veterans Affairs Ileana Healthcare System Palliative Care or to the American Legion Post 210. Samuel Brown, 67, of Hoopston, died at 9:31 a.m. on Tuesday, January 16th, in Carl Hoopston Regional Health Center. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Anderson Funeral Home, 427 East Main Street in Hoopston. And Jeremiah Daniil, 18, of Danville, died at 8:30 a.m. Thursday, January 11th, in Danville. Funeral services will be at noon on Friday at New Life Church of Faith, 1419 North Bowman Avenue in Danville. Pastor Frank McCullough will officiate. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. to noon Friday at the church. Leek & Sons Funeral Home, 304 East William Street in Danville, is in charge of the arrangements. Okay, the next story is investigation. Police charge suspect 17 in shooting. This is written by Mary Schenck in Tilton. The Vermilion County Sheriff's Department is investigating a shooting early Monday in Tilton that left one man injured and a 17-year-old under arrest. Captain Michael Hartshorn said in a release that deputies were called to the 2400 block of Georgetown Road about 12:30 a.m. for a person in a parking lot who had been shot. The 40-year-old Tilton man, who was not identified, was taken to Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana for treatment of non-life-threatening injuries. The victim told deputies he knew the person who shot him and had arranged to meet with him with the suspect and others. During the meeting, an argument started and several gunshots were fired. A 17-year-old male was arrested and charged with aggravated battery with a firearm. No other information was released about the teen since he is a juvenile. Next, Vermilion County Mental Health First Aid Training Set in Danville. The Vermilion County Health 708 Board on Friday will host another Youth Mental Health First Aid Training for anyone who works with young people. During this free training program, participants are taught various strategies for dealing with youth experiencing a mental health issue or mental health crisis. The session, which includes lunch, will be held from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. in the conference room at Vermilion County Health Department, 200 South College Street in Danville. To register, call Beth Kinnett at 217-516-2298. For more information, call Jim Russell at 217-443-3500. Okay, the next story is titled Public Works to Report to Mayor. Eisenhower to split time at City Hall and Public Works Building. This is written by Jennifer Bailey in Danville, and there's a picture of Danville Mayor Scott Eisenhower said Tuesday he will begin spending about half of his time at the city's public works building, which is above on Voorhees Street, and the remainder of his time at City Hall. Eisenhower decided not to replace Doug Ahrens at the city public works director and is taking some time of those duties himself. No one will be moving into the Public Works Director spot. Public Works employees will report directly to Mayor Scott Eisenhower, and Eisenhower will split his time between City Hall and the Public Works building starting this week. At Tuesday night's City Council meeting, Eisenhower outlined for the aldermen the changes being made with the city's Public Works Department. The changes come after Director Doug Ahrens took a job with the Danville Sanitary District. "I will be the final decision maker," Eisenhower said about Public Works personnel reporting to him. "The staff has incredible knowledge as it relates to operations, construction, and maintenance. We have a very talented staff, but we have a young staff in leadership roles," Eisenhower said. He said his role will be to mentor, guide, oversee, and help develop the younger staff so that they eventually will be more prepared to step into the director role. "It will also be more of a team concept and moving forward so that we can draw on the experience of others within the department to also help our young leaders develop," Eisenhower said. Eisenhower will have an office in the Public Works building and will spend half of his weekdays at the city's Voorhees Street building. He said his phone numbers aren't changing and he'll be able to be reached no matter which building he's working in. At the Public Works Department remain Deputy Director Ray Garcia, David Rue, who will now be Superintendent of Streets and Sewers, Superintendent of Solid Waste and Central Vehicle Maintenance, Carl Carpenter, and Program Support and other staff. Engineering and Urban Services Director David Schnell will continue to oversee the Urban Services staff and roads projects and continue to be Danville Area Transportation Study Director. The Department of Community Development will consist of engineering staff and community development staff who will report to Schnell. Eisenhower said the city is in desperate need of a part-time fire code inspector to go along with the city's building inspector, plumbing and mechanical inspector, and electrical and zoning inspector. There also is planning and urban services manager Chris Milliken, who helps the DATS and oversees community development block grant funds and zoning. He directly oversees the planners and building inspectors. Superintendent of Community Development Planning will be Steve Lane. He will continue to oversee parks, public corridors, and public property and work with public works and community development, such as with grants and downtown and parks planning. He also is an event liaison for the city's park. Harrison Park Golf Course Manager Brock Burton will be Superintendent of Grounds and Maintenance to again oversee the golf course, clubhouse, Danville Stadium, Winter Park, and mowing. Cindy Parsons will be Superintendent of Recreation and Park Maintenance to oversee parks, pavilions, and the pool. Assistant City Engineer Eric Childers will directly oversee the other three and half engineering staff. Code enforcement now reports to the city's legal department and is at City Hall. Eisenhower said the goal was to best fit duties and roles. Any salary changes will be looked at with a salary chart aldermen would act on possibly in May. Next story is titled, Middle Fork River Group Forms to Challenge Dynegen. All concerned by coal ash pits invited to meet. And this is in Danville, written by Tracy Crane. A small group of people who love the Middle Fork Park have formed a new grassroots group to push the Dynegy Energy Company to move tons of coal ash away from the National Scenic River. "We are people who simply care about the Middle Fork and want to make sure the right thing is done so our local river is not polluted by coal ash," said Kristen Camp, whose new group, Protect the Middle Fork, is holding in conjunction with Echo Justice Collaborative, its first meeting that's open to the public at 7 p.m. today in the Danville Municipal Building at 17 West Main Street in Danville. They're inviting anyone who wants more information about the coal ash issue along the Middle Fork. Camp, a retired Champaign School science teacher, and her husband Mike Camp live about a mile from the river, which they've both canoed for decades and helped with the effort to designated a National Scenic River in 1990. Kristen Camp said they had concerns about the fly ash near the river long before Dynegy shut down the power station in 2011. But now, Camp said, the issue has reached a critical point and private citizens, especially in Vermilion County, must get involved. It will affect Vermilion County people with the most. We need to be aware because it's right in our backyard, she said. Protect the Middle Fork wants Dynegy to relocate away from the river. Tons of coal ash left from decades of burning coal at the shuttered Vermilion County, Vermilion Power Station. Coal ash contains elements like arsenic, barium, and mercury that can harm the environment. But Dynegy wants to cap the three ash implements. Last year, the house-based company did some stabilization work along one section of the river bank that separates the Middle Fork from the ash pits, and it's securing permits to do more stabilization work. David Byford with Dynegy said the company hopes the stabilization work can happen this year. The rest of the work would be finished shortly thereafter, Byford said, referring to the capping of the pits. We believe that an engineered cap in conjunction with riverbank stabilization projects under review by Illinois EPA will provide long-term protection to the groundwater resource and the river. River advocates object, arguing that elements are already seeping into the river, and if the ash is left in place, erosion will compromise the pits eventually. They want the Illinois EPA to require Dynegy to move the ash. They've asked the state to hold a public hearing this spring, but IEPA officials have declined, according to Pam Reichert with Echo Justice Collaborative, a nonprofit organization formed by her and her husband, Lan Richard. They plan to organize a public meeting on the issue this spring. They've launched a fundraising campaign to pay for bringing in experts who know coal ash technical issues and private citizens who have been involved with coal ash issues in other parts of the country. Pam Reichert said this issue is too important for there to be no public comment. It's now or never, because Dynegy is preparing their response to the IEPA, she said, explaining that Dynegy's response means information supporting their cap and leave-in-place plan. So this is the time, and the only way we know how to put the public pressure on all the key players and make a lot of noise, because that could result in a negotiated agreement between Dynegy and IEPA. Just have about a minute and a half left, so I'll just run through some briefs here. The VFW plans a breakfast. Jewel White posts 728 Veterans of Foreign Wars, 8 East Pine Street will serve an all-you-can-eat breakfast from 7 to 9 a.m. on Saturday. The costs will be $6 and carryouts will be available. And volunteers sought Reese Across America plans a cleanup day for 10 a.m. Saturday at Danville National Cemetery to help remove the 5,900 wreaths placed back in December. Volunteers can sign up along with school groups, as this is part of the Reese Across America motto, Remember, Honor, and Teach. This will be our first year assisting with wreaths overall removal. Anyone who would like to volunteer can come out Saturday. We will have a sign-in sheet at the event. Pickup trucks are needed to help transport the wreaths from the graves to the container. For information, contact Tammy Williams at 217-516-2354 or at danvillewreaths@yahoo.com. So, anyway, that'll be it for today, Thursday, January 18th, 2018. It's supposed to warm up a little this weekend. I'm hoping it will. I'm getting a little tired of all this cold weather. It's kind of hard to breathe out there. So anyway, I hope you all have a good week, and hopefully I'll see you again next week. And y'all have a good week. Thanks. Bye.